Call Me Al, written by Wally Shaw and Eric Walters, published by Orca Book Publishers. The top of the head of a young person with dark hair and dark eyes and their arms behind their head lies against a background of brown, lined paper, and a microphone that has a white line, like a wire curled around the title.
Hello, my name is Eric Walters.
And I'm Wally Shaw.
We're the co-writers of our new novel, Call Me Al.
We're also doing something different. We're not just the writers of this novel, but we're going to have the great pleasure of narrating this as an audiobook.
We hope that you'll enjoy hearing the two of us doing the audio, but since we've never done this before, despite me using my best radio announcer voice, there could be a few more ums and ers than you're used to in most audiobooks.
Come on, Eric, we're going to do a great job. But let me give you a little bit of a background of our story and our partnership.
Wally and I go back a long way, actually, more than a decade. We first met at an awards ceremony in Mississauga, where we were both living at the time. Wally was a 19-year-old spoken word poet. He was obviously very talented. I knew he was going to end up doing something special, and he did.
He's inspired students across North America and around the world with his performances, and has even performed for President Obama.
Actually, Eric, our history goes even further back than that. When I was in middle school, the first book that I ever read that had a Muslim character in it was a novel called Bifocal, which was co-written by you and Deb Ellis. Eric, you're one of my favorite writers growing up, and that book, Bifocal, that I was reading, well, I was reading that while I was a student at Camilla, and Camilla is where this story is set. Call Me Al is a combination of Eric's prose and my poetry, although there was a partnership where some of the prose and a little bit of the poetry was written by the other as well.
Our story is about a lot of different things. It's about fitting in, finding your place, realizing who you really are, conflict, and racism.
But it's also about friendships, family, acceptance, inspiration, and love. We hope that you'll enjoy our novel, and we hope you'll enjoy Ali's story.
Friendship is a big part of this book, and that's exactly what happened for Wally and I. We've become such good friends. And now, Chapter 1, read by Mr. Wally Shaw.
Chapter 1. The halls were crowded as Zach and I wove and bumped our way along. It seemed like everybody else was moving in the opposite direction as we were. They were going out to the yard, while we were headed toward the office. "Are you sure we're not going to get in trouble?" I asked. "Al, we're not going to get in trouble," Zach said. He half smiled, half smirked, and brushed his hair to the side with his fingers. That was something he did a lot, pushing his hair back off his forehead. We both had dark hair, mine black and his brown, but his was longer. "Well, no trouble unless we get caught," he added. "Then there'll definitely be issues." Not what I wanted to hear. Zach chuckled. "Look, Al, we're just going out to lunch. We're not going to rob a bank. We're going out to the mall for lunch, which isn't allowed without our parents' permission. And we don't have permission." He shrugged. "It's a stupid rule. We're in grade 8, not 8 years old. Next year in high school, we can go out and eat wherever we want." I almost said, "Then let's wait until next year," but kept my mouth shut. "Besides, didn't one of your people say something about how you're supposed to fight against things that are unjust?" "One of my people?" I asked, raising my eyebrows. "Yeah, that guy in the pajamas, you know, who talked about nonviolent protest," Zach said. "Guy in pajamas? Wait. Do you mean Mahatma Gandhi?" "Yeah, that's the dude." Gandhi, along with Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Thomas Jefferson, had been part of a social studies unit our class worked on. I frowned. "First off, he's from India, and my family is from Pakistan." "Isn't that sort of the same?" "No, of course not," I exclaimed. "Second, those pajamas are a traditional South Asian dress. And third, he was talking about freeing his country from colonial rule, not going out to lunch." "He could have done both. That guy seriously looked like he needed a couple of good meals in him." "He actually stopped eating as a part of his nonviolent protest," I explained as patiently as I could. "That's probably why he was so skinny." We stopped just outside the door to the office. Darius, Raj, and Ryan were still standing there at the counter. I knew them, but they were more Zach's friends than mine. Zach took me by the arm and steered me over to the side and around the corner to where we couldn't see them, and more important, the secretary couldn't see us.